Hello and welcome into the Masters Preview Podcast. I'm your host, Austin Craycraft, and I am joined by a friend of the program. He's a dear friend of mine, Brendan Gray. How are you, and are you ready for green jackets and Jim Nantz galore?
Oh, how could you not be? It's probably the best weekend of the year in terms of consistency. It's a weekend you can guarantee four amazing days.
You sure can, as long as the weather doesn't come in to hurt us. So today we will be just previewing the event as a whole, breaking down every little niche of the sport. We'll take some different angles from other podcasts you may have heard about the Masters, and we're just really excited for this weekend. We both are madly in love with this event. I'll start with my end of it, and then you can give your spiel. But I really should have opened it by saying hello, friends, because that is a phrase that I use just throughout the year, and that is solely because of Jim Nantz and because of this event, and it's one of my favorites in the entire world. And this is really, for me at least, this is the start of golf season for sure. Once the Masters is going, you have Jim Nantz moving from college basketball to golf, and it's a really exciting time. And between him and Nick Faldo and just everyone else that puts together his show, some more Vern Lundquist, since we won't get as much, the broadcast as a whole gets me really excited, and just the whole awe and spectrum of it all.
Possibly, though, with the weather talk, we could get 5 days of golf. Who knows?
5 days.
Could be exciting. It's an event where it gets you fired up for the golf season, as Austin said. Right now, we got the start of baseball, but golf's now at the center stage of ESPN and all the major networks out there. And as Jim Nantz says, hello, friends. He always finishes off that with a tradition unlike any other. And it is a tradition unlike any other. There is no other place in the world that you know of such features as Amen Corner or the Butler Cabin, or how often do we hear about what they're being served at the Champions Dinner? I mean, Danny Willett this year, prime rib, Yorkshire pudding, how could you pass up on that? And hearing about all these little intricacies of one of our favorite games and one of the great classic games that continues on here and out every year. It's the event that everyone looks towards.
Yeah, and then I think one of the other things that I really love about it is just seeing the classic Darren Rovell tweet involving the menu for the year, which has barely changed since it was 50 years ago in terms of the cheapness of your turkey and Swiss sandwich, or just a cookie for a nice low price, an ice cream cone. And it's one of the great things to see. And I think another thing that we really got hooked on in terms of this event is just Dan Patrick's show and their impersonations. There's one in particular that's on YouTube that you can find that just nails it perfectly. You get the Blooming Azaleas reference. You get Fox's just walloping around the greens, and it's just wonderful. And I know that you love it too.
And along with that, it brings the old with the new. You get to see, I mean, from the tee off with, I mean, it'll be a very sad day as it is the first Masters without Arnold Palmer. But you get to watch Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player on the first tee, and whoever will replace, I mean, you can't replace Arnold Palmer, but that third person who will be up there, it will be a sentimental moment for all of us. But yeah, you also, within the field, you get so many exciting people. I mean, Bernard Langer, in contention last year, Fred Couples, the last 5 years, always makes a play at that, at being in the top. You bring that old with the new, always an exciting time. But on the gambling side, makes it easier for those people who are looking at putting a little money on the event. You have less people really qualified to win this event as well.
Yeah, the field is kind of wide open, and that is just furthermore because the news that we just heard earlier today in terms of Dustin Johnson, the number one player, the number one ranked player in the world, who fell down the stairs. There's been some speculation as to what he's done, but I don't want to delve into that. But if he is hampered or not able to go, I think that really changes the field as a whole.
It's wide open anyway. It's a major event. We're not at a time in this golf year where we're like, this isn't Tiger 2001 through 2005. There's no guarantees here. Yeah, Dustin Johnson's a great player and has been consistently playing well since his finally breaking through and winning his first major. But this is no way a shoe-in win for Dustin Johnson, 100% or not 100%.
Yeah, and I think Dustin Johnson along with Jordan Spieth kind of have to be the two guys that really are on the tip of everyone's tongues in terms of the favorites for this event. Because Spieth, he's been so good the last couple of years at this course. Of course, winning it in 2015. Last year, of course, the huge collapse on, it was 12, correct?
It was the par, I don't recall, I apologize.
I believe it was the 12th, but he had the huge collapse that allowed Danny Willett to come in and steal it when we thought Spieth was just going to maybe turn in a Tiger-like run. And I think he still has a good chance of winning this event, but overcoming last year is going to be a sight to see. And I think him along with hopefully a healthy Dustin Johnson are the two guys that will be leading the field.
Yeah, also, I mean, outside of the field, going back to the broadcasting aspect, let's welcome Sean McDonough to the call of the ESPN broadcast, another soothing voice. Sadly to say that no more Mike Tirico, but still an exciting time as well for all parties involved.
Yeah, I didn't think I'd heard that McDonough will be replacing him. Does he regularly do golf?
I believe this is his first time. I just happened to be watching the intro to the par 3 contest today where they just were showing a repeat of last year, but they brought in a live shot of Curtis Strange and Sean, and he was there. He was ready. He knew what he was talking about. I'll give him some credit.
He's a pro's pro, so I think he'll fit in quite nicely into that broadcast. It's, of course, great seeing the rare combination of ESPN and CBS working together. You get rare Jim Nantz on ESPN, and then vice versa to CBS. And I always love, this is the time of year where Scott Van Pelt always shows out, and that's really fun to see. But back to the game that'll be played on the course. I mean, this field just is so intriguing to me because you have a player like Phil, who's won it three times. He's at 46 years old now. You really feel like he could win any event at any point. You have a player like Rory McIlroy, who really has never played super well at this course. His best finished fourth in 2015, and I think he could always break out in an event, but he just hasn't been able to in Augusta. So it's just the names go on and on. You have Bubba Watson, who last year wasn't able to keep the even winning streak going between him and the San Francisco Giants. I'm so excited for this. Just talking about it gets me pumped up.
Yes, you'll have to be up early. You got a 5 a.m. Tee off on, I guess for me this morning, but.
Will that be on TV, or when does the broadcast start? Do you know?
Broadcast start. I believe that those first tee times will be on TV if it's obviously it's on a stream of some kind. Okay. I think midday we'll start getting a real broadcast.
The ESPN, yeah, and the first tee offs will be Russell Henley and Daniel Summerhays at 5 a.m.
Well, 8 a.m. for them. In the
8 a.m. in Eastern time. I am on the left coast, as we say. We can start picking guys that we like, and I think where we start is looking at these pairings and just kind of speculating. I think each of us should pick a pairing, and then whoever's pairing finishes best, we'll get bragging rights, I guess, since we probably shouldn't wager over the air.
So I'm going to take the 12:46 tee time, We got two players, most I would say one player, two master winner, Angel Cabrera, mate, always a exciting figure on the golf course. You know you're going to get some excitement. We'll get some attention from Angel Cabrera. Don't know about his consistency on the golf course. He's not been, no pun intended, up to par this year with a...
What's bad?
With three missed cuts and a top, and his best finish is a tie for 34th last week at the Shell Houston Open. That's on the PGA Tour circuit. But he's a guy that, I mean, he could come right in and he could win this tournament hands down easily, or he could blow it and shoot 280s. Within that pairing as well, you have Henrik Stenson. And Henrik Stenson, number five in the world, consistently playing, switching on and off between the European Tour and the PGA Tour. Recently, back in the U.S. for two weekends, playing at the Arnold Palmer and Shell Houston, missing two cuts. I can't speak to that as being why I would pick him. Obviously, that's not a positive trend, but a tied for second finish within this PGA Tour season. Most intriguing, though, I see is a guy who I actually have very limited knowledge of, Tyrell Hatton, who's the third member of that threesome, with worst finish this year on the PGA Tour is a tie for 23rd, and most recently tied for 4th at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Obviously, he's a new name, and someone who this is his first Masters, but it is a young name, someone who is familiar, knows Danny Willett, last year's Masters champion. Very intriguing pairing right here. Will they finish above Austin's? I don't know, but I'm taking a shot in the dark here, and I'm making a bold statement.
Well, you don't even know who my pairing yet is, so we will see. And to add on to that Hatton point, he actually has two straight top tens at majors, which I just learned because I hadn't heard the name either. So he is an up-and-comer, and that's not a bad third player to have on your trio. But my threesome, let me just find it here. It's somewhere. It is the threesome. It's a very interesting one in my eyes because my threesome is Zach Johnson, Louis Oosthuizen, and Adam Hadwin. Hadwin is the guy that I want to lead off with because he's a Canadian. I was talking to some of my quote-unquote sources back in Canada, and he had good things to say about this kid. He's a very quality player, and he's young, and one of the dark horses in this field for sure. And he actually had to reschedule his honeymoon for this week because he wasn't really expecting to be playing in the Masters, which is a pretty fun fact if I do say so myself. And then you have a player like Zach Johnson, who has won it before back in 07, and he hasn't performed that well since winning it, considering he's missed four cuts and only made five, but he has won at Augusta and St. Andrews, which is a rare list that you can find him on, and I believe he will fare quite well. And then Louis Oosthuizen, who of course finished second in 2012 after a terrific 4 days for him, and he's finished top 25 in each of the past 3 years, and I just think that his game really fits well onto this course. I think he has every element that you need to win it. I'm not saying he's going to win it because that would be ridiculous, but I think my trio has some potential, and I think it's going to be a close contest throughout.
Oh, it's hard to say because, I mean, we've looked recently and seen a guy win the Masters by a very large margin in 2015. However, I do not see something like that happening again where it's an uncontested battle going into the back nine at Augusta.
That's what we don't want, for sure.
No, it makes it a lot more exciting for all parties involved, including the golfers, including everyone. And with that Dustin Johnson injury, odds have gone down. He was a favorite. Now he's back, still at the top of the favorites, but not to that same level where we're where it's a guarantee to win, more or less.
Are you sad that he got injured? Just because you're a connoisseur of the game, some might say, and you just want to see everyone at their peak just to see who's really the best?
Yes, but being at a sport where there is a lot going on and it's a consistent week-by-week thing, it's hard to say that we're going to get someone's best every week. Granted, it is the Masters. This is the time to shine. This is also a tournament where he has never won before. Dustin Johnson, that is.
Right.
You know what? I want to see the best golfer in these 4 days win. I don't need to see the best golfer in the world win.
That's a great point, and rarely do we get to see what you said, where the best golfer in the world does win. And DJ, he's a guy who is coming in having won 3 straight PGA Tour events, and only one golfer since the 1950s has won 4 straight. So if he's able to get that jacket pulled over his shoulders and put on him in Butler Cabin, I think that'll be quite the sight, and he will do something that very few before him have ever done in sport.
Now, I don't think any of us are going to be complaining about more Polina Gretzky airtime as well.
That is true. She is not camera shy, I guess you could say. Let's start to give our predictions and what we think is going to happen outside of our dream trios when going 1, 2, 3. Let's each go for our top 5. I know this, I kind of sprung this on you at the time, but I want to hear who you think will finish top 5, just off the top of your head.
I'm gonna go bold here. I'm not going 1 through 5 here. I'll pick my champion as we continue through the show. I'm gonna put Bernard Langer in there after a great performance.
Oh, jeez!
After a great performance last year and a consistently amazing golfer who has won the tournament before, how could you not support him? I understand he's 57, but the man knows how to play golf. I mean, he has dominated the Champions Tour for years. He is, in my opinion, one of the best golfers in the world still. Granted, that's comparing him to his age class, but yes, I do believe that. In that top 5 as well, you got to put in your obvious beliefs, and I do believe that Jordan Spieth is ready to win another one. He, after last year's collapse, he's prepared. He's the most prepared of any of them of any golfer there, after spending time after time again on the golf course there. So we got 2 there. Let's put in, I'm always a fan, Matt Kuchar always puts in a good round there. Is he going to break the top 5? He's always there on the back. You always see him on the back 9 there when you're watching there on Sunday, watching that featured group. Is he ready to finally be that featured group? We'll find out. But I have him in my top 5. 4th, we're going to go with my guy, Tyrell Hatton. I'm buying stock. Usually, folks, don't listen to me. Don't buy stock in him. Most likely, he's probably going to be a bust and shoot 280s. But I'm going to put him in there. I mean, consistency, top 10 finishes in 2 straight majors. I'm in full belief of him. And Bubba Watson, his favorite golf course, Southern Boy, back home in the deep south in Augusta. I believe that, yeah, did he break his quote-unquote Giants slump of every other year? Yes, but this is a tournament that he has been, I would argue, his favorite. So there's my 5 right there.
And you'll hold the winner for the end of the show?
I will.
Okay. Leaving the people in suspense. I love it. So, for me, I'll say Phil makes it in the top 5. I think he comes out and plays really great on Friday and on moving day on Saturday. I believe that he still has some game, and he'll put together 2 or 3 shots with those wedges that'll just blow your mind, as he seems to do every time this tournament rolls around. Another guy that I'm really, really high on is is Sergio Garcia. Winning is, I don't know if it's in the cards because he has just never been able to do it, but he's always there. He has one of the prettiest swings in the entire game, and I'm hoping he finally reaches that peak of the summit, but I don't know if he's going to get there. Third, a guy that I really, really, really like is Justin Thomas. He's one of the young guys who's behind Jordan Spieth in terms of the biggest names in the sport, and I think he's going to perform very admirably in this year's tournament, and I expect big things out of him. So that is 3 out of 5. And let's sneak in a little bit of a dark horse, and let's throw in JB Holmes, who finished tied for fourth last year. He had his chances actually last year. He was in the running early on before faltering down the stretch. But I like JB Holmes to sneak into that top five. And finally, I think that Spieth does make it in the top five just because he plays so well on this course. His iron play is immaculate, and I'm all in on him. And I will, as well as you, just hold the final prediction for the end of the show. But man, there's so many names that I could have put on there that I just had to leave off because it's such a deep field.
Yes, there's names out there, the guys who won the Masters back in the 80s and 90s. Yeah, I put one of them in there, Bernard Langer. But there's guys out there that, yes, but it's 4 days. You put 4 days of good golf and you're in the top five. So
that's true.
It's all these guys,
easier said than done, though.
It is a lot easier said than done. Don't ask either of us how to put four holes straight of good golf in. Let alone 4 days worth of good golf.
That's why we're talking about it, not there.
That is true. But this is a very exciting field. You got new guys, you got the old guys, and then you've got the guys in the middle, in that middle age group there. I mean, you talk about Phil Mickelson, you talk about Henrik Stenson. These are guys that, I mean, you could go further down the line. Lee Westwood, even. I mean, these are all guys in their 40s. Phil Mickelson's broken through, but these are all guys that you could see winning this tournament, and we don't even mention them, and that's an exciting, this is what makes it such an exciting tournament.
Yeah, and it's something that, it kind of comes around fast in terms of the sports calendar, like, when it shows up, you're just like, wow, we're 3 weeks away from the Masters, and I didn't see it coming, but it's a very pleasant surprise, I'd say. And just overall, I think we could not be more excited, because once the Masters finishes, then the majors just feel like they kind of speed up and they come flying at you, just because they have one just about every month. So it's exciting, and you want to be in a warm climate where you can just go out and play a nice round of 18 after watching this weekend.
Yeah, it's the real, I mean, if you want to talk about the unofficial start to spring, it's finally getting nice out, get the sticks out, it's time to get out there and play. And speaking of all these different, I mean, the U.S. Open is exciting, but we are going to a new golf course there in Erin Hills in Wisconsin. So, the Masters, though, you know what's happening, you know exactly, you know. You even know the names of some of the holes. You know the.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a story. You know, like, this is a consistent story that you know exactly. You played that video game, and you played PGA Tour 14, whatever it might be. You remember those shots and how they should be shot. You remember, and you know, watching it, that it's that 18th tee, how narrow it is to get through there. And that's what makes it so exciting.
And it's one of the, probably the only golf event that truly casual sports fans will come out and watch, especially if it gets really exciting on Sunday, because it has such lore in terms of sports culture. And I think that ideally that's what comes about come Sunday, is that these these guys put together a bunch of good rounds, and that it's close coming down to the end, and the casual fan starts creeping in and gets really invested into it. And yeah, like I don't know the other two holes in golf other than Amen Corner. You know, you don't just know the names of things like that.
Right, and we can't sit here and talk about the Masters without bringing up a certain player who is formerly number one, who has had his struggles mightily. And although that excitement would be there if Tiger Woods was playing this weekend, this is an amazing field, and it should not hold any one person back from watching this event and loving this event and continuing to want to watch the game of golf, because there are so many great names out there.
Yeah, we made it, what are we, like 25, 30 minutes in without even mentioning Tiger's name. So it just kind of shows you, some people were worried about the state of golf, but from my perspective, I don't think there's much of a worry because there's so many bright stars in this game right now, and I don't have too much concern with it going forward, because as we've talked about, you have the older generation who's still there, led by Phil. You have the kind of middle who've been here for a while, the Hendricks, the Lee Westwoods, and then you have the younger generation who's really carrying the game with Dustin Johnson, Spieth, McIlroy, and those guys. So overall, the game's in a great place, and I'm excited to watch it come. It's first tee shot will be in 7 hours, which is pretty crazy.
I'll be up in 6 hours to enjoy it. There's just something not to go on a golf tangent here, but there's just something gratifying about being able to watch from that start to finish. Yeah, am I gonna watch every shot on every hole? No, but I'm gonna be able to say I watched the first tee, and I watched that final putt go in on 18 for the win.
Yeah, right. Well, I think we've said all we have about this Masters Championship. Is it time to finally give your illustrious pick?
I think it is time, and in a tradition unlike any other and unlike anything that I would normally do, we're going to go with Tyrell Hatton.
Oh, jeez. That is insane.
Shoot 280s, Tyrell, please.
Yeah, he's guaranteed to not make the cut now.
Yes.
You can bank on it at this point. I'm also going, I guess, slightly off the board. I'm going with my guy, Justin Thomas. I'm buying all his stock. Give him the green jacket and just see what happens, because I think his future is extremely bright.
And with that being said, let's watch some golf.